Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Relationships That Work, the Power of Conscious Living Show, an adventure in self-realization and conscious living. This is a place and time for spiritually based transformation through empowered communication, courageous introspection, and purposeful action. Integrate ancient wisdom into your daily life and relationships. Let's join our host, Dr. David Wolf.
Welcome to the Sophie Tove Radio Hour. This is David Wolf, your host, here in the Sophie Tove Studios in Alachua, Florida, about 15, 20 miles outside of Gainesville, Florida. Here in the Sophie Tove Studios with Marie Glashine at the controls. Welcome to the Sophie Tove Radio Hour. In some recent shows, we talked about some principles or words that there tends to be misconceptions about. We talked about like Dharma and yoga. Dharma and yoga, and the essential meaning of yoga is to connect, essentially, ultimately to connect with the divine. So a process that actually helps us to do that, to connect with spirit, that's yoga. A side effect might be stress reduction or physical health. Well, that's not the primary purpose of genuine yoga. Dharma, we hear that term bandied around a lot. Dharma. Dharma means that which is essential, an essential quality of something. That which cannot be separated from something. We talked about the dharma of light is to illuminate, dharma of fire is to be hot. We wouldn't say the dharma of fire is to cook, because you could have a fire that cooks. But it's not that. There are some fires through an air conditioning unit that cool. So our dharma, we spoke about our dharma as to serve. Our dharma is to serve. That we can't get away from it. Our choice is where to direct our service. And we can see that maybe sometimes we direct our service in ways that are fulfilling and other times that are more frustrating. We can't get away from serve, from service, whether we're serving our nation, our community, our ideology, our belly, or serving God. We can't get away from that essential dharma of to serve. So that's who we are. Just like a fire is going to be hot, how that heat is used might differ. But a fire is going to be hot. Another word, I hear this a lot in coaching, I hear this in seminars about karma. Oh, it was my karma. And I sense there's a lot of misunderstanding about this. You're listening to the Sophie Tove Radio Hour. We welcome you to join us today, get some coaching, share your perspective, share your comments, get some personal coaching, get some personal life-changing, life-transforming coaching right here on the Sophie Tove Radio Hour. We're talking about karma, Marie. It was my karma. What could I do? My karma.
Sounds quite victim-y. Sounds like a victim-y approach to life, David. Was your karma what you could do? Like you're helpless, powerless human being.
Yeah, I throw my arms up in the air and I curse my karma. If it weren't for my karma, my life would be so good. So, yeah, it sounds very victim-y, and that's the general misconception I tend to hear, and so that I've tended to hear for more than 30 years since I started kind of studying about this stuff. And so actually, because as you, and I think a lot of our listeners know, Marie, that this is really a foundational principle in the Sophie Tove environment, personal responsibility. Personal responsibility. And we might even say radical personal responsibility. And when I say radical, I don't want to that can seem like, oh, off the edge, not balanced. Well, radical means we get at the root. We get at the root. And so karma, from my understanding, is radically consistent with a stance and philosophy of full personal responsibility, contrary to some common understandings. The karma, it does define, in a sense, our limitations that we've created. So that's one way that karma indicates responsibility, that we've, by our actions and our desires, we've created a particular karma that's with us at present. Now here's the key thing about karma. Karma is temporary, and we talk a lot about conscious living. And through conscious living, we destroy our karma. Karma represents the past, what we did in the past and the effects and the consequences. And it's described in the authoritative books about karma, like Bhagavad Gita, that by conscious living, by living in sattvic consciousness, we step out of our past. Our biography does not need to equal our destiny. Our biography, our history, does not need to equal our destiny. Our biography does determine our destiny to the extent that we're history-driven and to the extent that we're committed and affected in living consciously. We step out of our past. Maybe in my past, until now, I've been fearful, intimidated, shy, wimpy, confused, bitter, whatever. Right. Now, with conscious living, I'm choosing something else. I'm choosing to be. I'm choosing to connect with my essential qualities. I'm choosing to be peaceful, forgiving, compassionate, powerful, bold, confident, strong, courageous. But according to my karma, I'd be victim-y and powerless and helpless, maybe. And I'm stepping out of it because spirit is superior to matter. Spirit is superior to matter. Karma, then, is temporary. It can go on a long, long time. And we can destroy it in an instant. That's conscious living. We get to step out of our karma. Also, we're responsible for that, for the constraints of karma we're experiencing now, and for what we're creating in the future. The number to call to be on the show, we welcome you, we invite you to be on the show. The number to call, 805-285-9749. If you call in, you want to be on the show, get some personal coaching, press 1. An analogy I like to use is that of the airplane. That, say, if I get on an airplane from Jacksonville, Florida to London, England. Then once I'm on the plane, in one sense I've created a karma, I've limited myself. I can no longer go to my favorite restaurant in Jacksonville, Florida, that night. At the same time, it would not be true to say, oh, now everything's predestined. It's all destiny and fate. No. While I'm on the plane, I have so many choices. While I'm on the plane, I could read some enriching book that will enhance my intellect. While I'm on the plane, I can make a business contact that will bring abundance into my life after, for the next 10 years. while I'm on the plane, I could commit a heinous crime. I could commit a murder. So that when I get off the plane, I'm going to be even further restrained in prison, the electric chair, because of the karma I created. Sticking to airplanes and stuff, we can understand the airport. I know you're aware, Marie, that in Safato, we use a personality assessment that I developed called the Vedic Personality Inventory. Vedic Personality Inventory, it's really the purpose there is for objective assessment, take inventory, who am I, where am I at? And also the purpose is to step out of our karma. How? The Vedic Personality Inventory, it's based on the psychology of the ancient wisdom from the Vedas. Veda means knowledge. Veda means to see knowledge. And so Vedic Personality Inventory, and so this ancient psychology describes there are three primary modes of nature. There's tamas, which means the mode of inertia. There's rajas, which means the mode of activity. And sattva, like sattvato. Sattva means goodness or enlightenment. English words like satisfied or saint come from the Sanskrit sattva. And tov means a similar thing in the biblical Hebrew. Sattva-tov. Sattva-tov. Vedic personality inventory. It's a personality assessment like the Myers-Briggs or the Minnesota Multiphasic, MMPI, that assesses the predominance of modes of nature in our own consciousness and personality, from our cognitions to our emotions, our perspectives, our worldviews, our habits, our activities, from where we like to hang out and to what we like to do, what sort of foods we eat. But based on this ancient wisdom, everything in the material world is infused and permeated by these modes of nature, from the work we do to how we listen to how we communicate. We're talking about airplane examples. So the airport, we can compare that to sattva-gun, the mode of enlightenment, to sattva-gun. So let's say, again, if I want to go to London, England, and we might say the springboard to get there is to go to the airport. At the same time, let's say I'm at the airport in Gainesville or Jacksonville or New York, and they announce my flight to London. They announce my flight, and I just sit there reading my book or playing on my iPod or whatever it is. I just sit there twiddling my thumbs, smiling, happy in my own world. The plane takes off. So in one sense, I'm really no closer to London than I was sitting in my home in Alachua, Florida, or sitting here in the Safato Studios in Alachua, Florida. This indicates that we can bring a lot of fulfillment and happiness into our life by cultivating such fit qualities. These are the qualities of goodness and enlightenment. And on other editions of the Safotope Radio Hour, we've talked about some practices that can really help us to develop this sattvic enlightened quality, while remembering that ultimately we don't want to be satisfied with sattva within the material realm. We've talked about the material context. In the material context, whether we're in tamas, rajas, or sattva, it involves things like death, old age, and disease. Right? So, of course, we want to eat well, eat sattvically. But you know, Marie, even if we eat well, and we floss, and we're clean, and you know, good things. Still, this body is going to grow old, become diseased, and die. And within this material context, there are intrinsic miseries created by our own body and mind, created by other living entities, whether mosquitoes or my cats, or the government or whatever, and there are earthquakes and so many things. Now, it's true that we might alleviate and minimize those miseries to the extent that we develop this sattvic consciousness. Essentially, though, we want to develop that consciousness like the airport, as a springboard to get out of the material context altogether, to fully develop transcendental consciousness, consciousness that is transcendent into all of the modes of material nature. These are exciting topics for me. You're listening to the Sattva-Tov Radio Hour. Write in on chat. We want to hear from you. We invite you. We invite you to call in, get some coaching. In recent weeks, I've been so enlivened by our callers and our chat visitors. Is that a proper thing to say, a chat visitor? I don't know, I just make up terms as I go. I'm like that. I've been so enlivened by our callers and the principles of coaching, the principles of self-realization, personal growth, and purposeful action that come out in this process of transformative coaching.
David, I'm really glad that you spoke about, you know, like the in all those Vedic terms like yoga, dharma, karma, and also about the Vedic personality inventory that you developed. And I'm always intrigued about that Vedic personality. And what intrigued me the most is that how many people are taking that test all over the world. I'm doing the administrative part of Sattva-Tov Institute, and I can see that almost daily someone in the world, sometimes it's in South Africa, sometimes it's in India, sometimes from Japan, sometimes from Australia, people all over the world are looking to find that personality inventory and then taking it, and then what they get is a result, understanding and giving them the information about the percentage of each of the guna, sattva and raja and tamas, in their personality. And for our listener, and you know, for those who are going to listen on a library archive of sattvatov.com, I would like to hear what can people do with those results when they receive their results? How do they interpret them? What will be something productive to do with them?
Thanks, Marie. Yeah, I'm glad to talk about those things. Yeah, and that's very enlivening for me, practically daily. You see more than me, but from Bangalore to Boston, and from Rhode Island to Rio de Janeiro, that's all over the world, people are taking the Vedic Personality Inventory. If you're interested, to visit the Vedic Personality Inventory website, it's vedicpersonality.org, vedicpersonality.org. The people are taking the Vedic Personality, that there's a fascination. And when someone takes it, well, we use the term inventory. So inventory. To be powerful and effective in our life, in the present, and into the future, it's important to take inventory of what am I bringing from my past? What am I bringing from my past? And how well is it working for me? How well is it working for me? So the Vedic personality inventory, it's an inventory given in the language of the gunas, given in the language of tamas, rajas, and sattva. Where am I at now? If we want to change, if we want to grow, it's important, it's vital to be clear what's true now. Resisting reality is almost always a losing battle. Resisting reality. So on the basis of reality, we get to choose change on the basis of accepting reality. Acceptance, not resignation. Resignation can be discouraging. But on the basis of acceptance, of here's where I'm at with regards to the mixture of the gunas. And so the Vedic personality inventory, especially in conjunction with let's say, guna-based coaching, in conjunction with our book, Relationships That Work, The Power of Conscious Living, the Vedic personality inventory gives us valuable information about ourselves, about our own self-realization. It raises our awareness about ourselves to see, hey, here are some mindset, here are some activities, here are some habits, here are some practices that deeply serve me in my growth and my ultimate fulfillment, satisfaction, and happiness. Here are some habits and practices and perspectives that really drag me down, that really prevent me from the fulfillment. We developed the Vedic Personality Inventory, really going back about 15 years, started conceiving of it, researching it. We've published about the Vedic Personality Inventory in places like Psychological Reports, the Journal of Indian Psychology. It's the most rigorously methodologically tested, validated, reliable, valid inventory based on Vedic wisdom that exists in the world. The Vedic Personal Inventory, we developed it with our intention was to develop an empirical basis for happiness. An empirical basis for fulfillment. And that's what we get. We get to see empirically what's true. What are some mindsets, habits, perspectives that lead to misery? Based on rigorous research, what are some perspectives, habits, etc., that lead to temporary elation and ultimately to disappointment and discouragement? What are some ways of being and acting? Again, from the food we eat to the work we do to how we communicate. What are some ways of being that lead to, that correlate empirically with lasting satisfaction and fulfillment and joy? And so we get to see that in and through the Vedic Personality Inventory, again, especially in conjunction with guna-based coaching. And, you know, when someone fills out the Vedic Personality Inventory at vedicpersonality.org, when someone does that, they also get to register for a complimentary BPI. BPI is the acronym for Vedic Personality Inventory. For a VPI coaching session, coaching consultation, to understand more deeply what does this mean and how do I get to use this information to improve my life? With improve defined as deepen my fulfillment, my joy, satisfaction, personal power, all of the things that we are universally eager for.
How fascinating. It seems that what you're presenting is that there is a science to happiness, a science to satisfaction. That's quite a different paradigm than you know, like what we are bombarded to by the media of, like, you know, my satisfaction, that there is no science, it's just about enjoying, buying, getting things, cigarettes and alcohol or whatever's coming to our way, only are you presenting a science of satisfaction that's proven by a scientific method. Quite fascinating, David.
I appreciate that, Marie. It's a science of happiness. It's a science of fulfillment that is hypothesized, you might say, in the Vedic wisdom. It's hypothesized. Some people say, oh, well, I don't believe that. That's just some books that some people wrote, whatever. Okay. And that's where the empiricism comes in, that it's hypothesized. It's described in the Vedic literatures. And there are actually many people who accept that as their evidence, as their proof. We applied through the research and the testing of the Vedic personality inventory, we applied the hypotheses of Vedic wisdom through rigorous methodology of modern social science. Rigorous methodology from the conception to the sampling to the measurement to the analysis and the statistical analysis and et cetera, et cetera. I won't bore our listeners with too many details there about Mankovas and Manovas and things like that. We tested it. We developed questions. And then we gave it to hundreds and hundreds of people, a relatively large sample size. There's more to do, Marie. There's more to do. We could get into hundreds of thousands of people. But we tested it and then we went through the questions based on construct validity and reliability and different types of statistical validity. And we saw some questions really hold together tight. These questions, based on modern social science quantitative analysis, these questions really indicate the essence of sattva, the essence of rajas, the essence of tamas, the essence of what causes violence, the essence of what leads one to enlightenment. These questions really indicate that. And there were other questions that really didn't. And then we got rid of those questions. And we refined an inventory, ultimately, of 56 questions, starting with more than 150 questions. We refined an inventory with very strong validity and reliability. Of course, in all empirical methods, there are shortcomings, and there's more refinement and research to do. In Vedic study, Vedic personality assessment. And the Vedic personality inventory, the VPI, represents the most sophisticated and involved effort to date to develop a personality inventory based on the three modes of material nature described in the Vedas. And someone who takes that inventory, they get to see about themselves. They get to see, where am I at? And, again, especially with coaching or guidance from our book, Relationships That Work, The Power of Conscious Living, then we get insight and tools and strategies to make positive changes that will transform my consciousness, my experience of life.
So you were saying that you did the experiment, and that from people's responses, you got a sense of those questions and of what is the science of happiness and satisfaction based on that hypothesis from the Veda. So what if I just believe that the my happiness is based on how much money I have, or my happiness is based on, the partner I will find, that I'm going to, to find the right person at the right time, and we'll live happily ever after? Or what if I'm thinking that my happiness comes from the car I drive, or you know, living in a house of my dream? What's wrong with that?
You say it's not about right or wrong. This is not value judgment. This is how well is that working for you, man? How well is that working for you? And when someone comes to us, whether in coaching or seminars or any of our programs, it's I'm interested to hear from you. What's working for you? What's working for you? And what's not? Sure, we can talk about so many people who, through their experience, they come to some realization. Maybe when they're 15 years old, or maybe when they're 75, or whatever it is. But, you know, a lot of external things that I was sure was going to bring me all that satisfaction, fulfillment, and sense of security and worth, that it didn't really work out that way. So many examples amongst, quote, ordinary people, and we go to movie stars or famous people. There's so many things. At the same time, I'm not here to convince you of anything. I'm here to hear from you. What's working in your life? What's not? Let's look at that.
Yeah, thank you. And I think, you know, myself and all the listeners and everyone who's going to listen to this radio show, we can ask that question. And if I look like a different time of, you know, happiness, if I had happiness coming from those things that I was quoting earlier, I will say that it has been quite temporary. And it was like I didn't know and the science of capturing that feeling, of knowing how to keep that feeling, that satisfaction with myself. So even so, you know, I may have been unsatisfied by a relationship or fulfilled in my income or by something I just bought, it sounds like it didn't last, because not so long after I may have gone back to feeling depressed or in anxiety or stress or still looking for more fulfillment, still seeking, still running after something that was missing or that is missing.
I saw a bumper sticker recently: whoever dies with the most toys wins. So we can live from that philosophy. That just whoever accumulates the most stuff wins. We can live and see how that works for us. Here's the thing. Sofitov Institute, spiritually based personal and group transformation, for empowered communication, courageous introspection, and purposeful action. We start with the spiritually based. Spiritual means eternal. So what you're describing, Marie, and what is there on the bumper sticker, whoever dies with the most toys wins, it's, you know, from my perspective, it's kind of like a fish trying to be happy on land. And trying to convince me. The fish will be happy if it has a Mercedes. The fish will be happy if it had $10 million in the bank. The fish will be happy if it just had a pretty wife. The fish will be happy if it were like the CEO of such and such company. Whereas I'm saying, no, if the fish had all those things, it's going to flop and die. Because it's on land and it's not in water. And a fish in water is naturally going to be happy. So we're eternal beings. Just like what you were saying, whatever, that maybe experience some happiness or comforts. But because they were temporary, it didn't last. And I'll go further than that. That because you're an eternal being, because you're a fish, Marie, you're meant to swim in the ocean. So our nature is to be eternal. That's our spiritual nature. We are eternal. We can't not be eternal. We're under the illusion that we are temporary. We're under the illusion that we're this body, which is temporary. We'll grow old, get diseased, and die. Now, maybe some of you are there thinking, oh, no, I'm young and healthy. Yeah, it's going to go get old, become diseased, and die. It can sound rather depressing. I do tend to be rather pessimistic about materially based life, and I'm quite optimistic about developing spiritual consciousness. Now, that doesn't mean like run away to a cave and meditate. No, that in spiritual consciousness, we get to spiritualize everything, whether it's our computers or our cars or our bank accounts and our relationships. So I'm not talking about running away from the world to live a so-called spiritual life. That's just another form of materialism, to run away from the world. So real spiritual responsibility means, how do I get to spiritualize all the energies in my life, all the relationships, all the resources? So we're eternal beings. We're eternal beings. And that's why the temporary stuff, it's not going to fulfill us. Doesn't mean don't go for the temporary stuff. Let's say I'm fully absorbed, fully situated, fully immersed in my self-realization, my spiritual consciousness. And I'm experiencing that eternal, deep joy and fulfillment and peace and radiance and vitality from the spiritual platform. From that platform, I might choose to live a simple life. From that platform, I might choose to start some companies and make millions of dollars, whatever. But my experience of balance and worthiness and value and satisfaction and courage and strength and power is not dependent on whether I make $1 million or not. You're listening to the Safetov Radio Hour. This is David Wolf, your host, here in the Safetov Studios with Marie Glashine. The number to be on the show, 805-285-9749. We invite you to be on the show, share your perspective, get some coaching on the spot. Also, we encourage you to visit the Safetov website, safetov.com. I'll spell it for you for those who are not familiar. Safetov.com, S as in Stephen, A, T, Thomas, B, Victor, A, T, Thomas, O, B, Victor, E.com, Safetov.com. Visit the library section on Safetov.com. There are many videos where you get to deepen your understanding and realization about transformative communication. There's many audios, many audio links, many articles, and many links to the Safetov Radio Hour. Many links to the Safetov Radio Hour. This is David Wolf, your host. Safetov Institute Radio Hour, your station for self-realization. The number to call to be on the show, 805-285-9749. That's 805-285-9749. We've been talking about the Vedic personality inventory. It's a personality inventory that I developed that... it's a personality assessment based on the wisdom from the ancient Vedic literatures, describing three primary modes of nature that influence everything we do, influences our mind, tamas, rajas, and sattva. To access, to take the Vedic personality inventory, vedicpersonality.org, that's V-E-D-I-C, personality.org. Also, in taking the Vedic personality inventory, you also can register for a complimentary VPI coaching session. Thank you for joining us, Safetov Radio Hour. We invite you to write in on chat, to call in, and share your perspective, get some coaching on the spot.
If you are listening to the radio show on your phone, to come in the radio show and ask you for your question, share your comments, get some coaching, press 1 and we'll bridge you into the radio show. I'm quite inspired, David, and I remember a few radio shows ago, you was presenting communication, and communication is such a big part of our life, and all our communication with ourselves, communication with others. Relationship is all based, you know, mainly based on communication or lack of it or miscommunication. And I heard you describing, you know, according to those three modes, what you know, like how can we first understand ourselves through our communication, and what communication that lead to satisfaction, that lead to that science of happiness would be. I'd like to hear more about that, David.
What? What did you say? Oh, okay. So, I was modeling for you there. So, yeah, where we often start in transformative communication is not so much the expression part, but the listening part. So you talked for a while, and I reacted with, what? Huh? What'd you say? So, in terms of the gunas, what guna might that best represent?
Well, it seems that you was manifesting a lot of inertia. Not quite present, not quite with me, in your own head, in your own, you know, whatever was happening to you had nothing to do with me.
That's right. You got it. So we might say that kind of a dull-minded sort of approach to listening is tamas. Right? So everything, again, from the work we do, the food we eat, the car we drive, and how we listen. We can understand it. We can assess it. We can take inventory in terms of the modes of nature. So if I'm kind of dull-minded, did you say something, hardly paying attention, that's tamas, inertia. Let's say I'm listening. I am listening. But in listening to you, maybe I'm alert, I'm attentive, but I have some agenda to fulfill. Oh, Marie's saying that. Well, I want to show her that I'm smarter than her, but I'll wait till it's my turn. But then I'm going to show her. Or maybe, maybe I can get her on my side, then she'll like me if I do this. So it's kind of, I'm listening, but I'm really not really listening to what you're saying. I'm more listening to what I'm saying about what you're saying. Like, oh, Marie's so much like this. And she doesn't. Maybe listen to my judgments about what you're saying. I'm not really fully in your world. So that's rajas, the mode of, like, activity, rajas listening. And sattvic listening. Then I'm fully with you. You feel my presence, my attentiveness, my empathy. I'm fully with you, alert, attentive, conscious, present. And I have no agenda. I'm not looking to manipulate or coerce in any way. I'm secure enough in my world to kind of cross the bridge into your world and understand what's going on. And that understanding, as we make that distinction, understanding does not mean agree with it. I might hear that you're so angry about something, and I might show that I really understand how angry and infuriated you are. I might not agree that it's really valid that you feel that way, but I'm understanding. So that's sattvic listening. Expression. Let's say that I have something to say to you, and I'm too scared to say it. And I go around life that way. I'm just too scared to say it. I'm just going around life so fearful. Sometimes I just cloud myself over. I'm not even clear in myself. So we can understand that in terms of the modes. Maybe that's tamasic, again, inertia, fear-based. And let's say maybe I get so frustrated that I become aggressive. I become aggressive, and I yell, and I'm belligerent, and I'm just kind of bullying you to accept my point. So we might understand that, like a rajasic mode, aggression, maybe violence, which is kind of aggression born of ignorance, rajas and ignorance. And then let's say it's like when I express myself, I'm clear, I'm determined, I stand strong in my perspective, and I express it in a way that's not intended to damage or hurt, fully respectful, sensitive, considerate. I'm considerate as I courageously express myself. And you get that my expression, even though it might be uncomfortable for you, might be unpleasant, still, you get that I'm expressing because I care enough about you and about our relationship for you to hear the truth as I see it, and you feel fully honored in your space to share your perspective. So that that sort of bold yet compassionate expression, assertive expression, that's sattvic, enlightenment. That's sattvic. I'm not too scared to express my truth, and in that way, letting my destiny slip by, not fulfilling my life purpose because I'm too scared. Neither am I just giving belligerence and hurt and pain and toxicity with my expression. I'm expressing my truth in a way that's firm and courageous and also empathic and considerate, sattvic expression.
Thank you, David. Thank you for differentiating all those different way of listening and speaking. What's the correlation between those and my satisfaction? I may be satisfied just spacing out when someone speaks with me, or I may be satisfied by fulfilling my agenda. What's the correlation there?
Well, that's right. You need to look at the statistics. That's all statistics. That's just what we did in the Vedic Personality Inventory. That's exactly what we did. We looked at different ways people communicate. We looked at different ways people eat. We looked at whether people like to hang out in bars or they like to take walks in the forest. We looked at all of these external things. And then we also had questions there about how satisfied are you, how fulfilled are you? And what we found is certain modes of communication, like the assertive mode of communication, again, it's not like me saying how you should be, but what we found is certain types of communication, certain types of eating habits, certain perspectives correlate with higher life satisfaction. It's all statistics.
Yeah. That's statistics that you could see according to the way people communicate. That was the correlation between the way they communicate, the way they eat, the way they live their life, and their level of satisfaction. And that's where we connect that with the science of happiness or the science of satisfaction that you have been researching. David, we have a caller online. I'm going to bridge the caller now. Caller, you're online now. If you want to share, first state your name, and then share with us what you want to share.
Hello? My name is Devin Borsboom from beautiful Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Devin from beautiful and freezing Edmonton, Canada. Good. Welcome to the show, Devin.
Nice to speak with you again, David. Seems I get to do this quite often. I feel very lucky to do so. We spoke briefly yesterday, I was driving home from a city about 3 hours away from home to home to see my family for Christmas after that conversation yesterday, and. I noticed that the floodgates opened of self-defeating tapes when I started driving home yesterday. Just because I committed to coming to Florida and all of this other stuff and just the financial stretch that I'm putting myself through and basically all the floodgates open, you're not going to be able to afford this, you're going to have to move back home with your parents, you're not going to be able to do this, it's going to be too expensive, it's going to be blah, 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 blah.
And all sorts of self-doubt, yeah.
Oh, yeah, big time. I mean, when I committed to the LMP, I knew that it was going to be a stretch financially, and I'm totally cool with that. And I feel that, the trust... In myself and in my own you know, like my personal power, my ability to succeed, to achieve what I want to achieve is stronger than the self-doubts. But it's like last night I really experienced like them creeping up. Like let's say I was at like 90 or 95% self-confidence and like 5 to 10% self-doubt. Yesterday the self-doubt came up to about 40% when I was on the way home. And it was, I didn't like that.
Okay, you were uncomfortable with that. That was very unsettling for you. And just like as the, because you've been planning this for weeks. And then you mentioned the LMP, that's the Satya Tov Life Mastery Program. That's the third of our core programs, Foundational Seminar, Advanced Seminar, Life Mastery Program. And you committed to a Life Mastery Program that's largely based. Of course, a lot of the Life Mastery Program can be done by phone, but it's going to require travel. It's largely based thousands of miles from where you are, and you were excited about that. And then just as you got closer and closer to committing to it verbally, declaring it, then you're feeling fear, you're feeling insecurity, you're feeling uncertainty, and you don't want to be this way.
Yeah, absolutely not. And I would probably say even that it wasn't when I was getting closer and closer to committing to it. It was actually after I committed to it when the group and I were working out trying to work out dates for our in-person meetings was when it really hit me. I was very uncomfortable. Scheduling kind of stuff is like a hot button for me because I feel that I'm like very variable all over the place. Like I talked to an old friend that I haven't talked to in like 3 months, I told him what I had done in the last 3 months. He's like, "That's crazy about you. I never would have guessed in a million years that, you know, I've been to Vancouver, I've been to Florida, I've taken those courses, I've changed jobs like twice, like." So I feel like nothing in my life is consistent. And when I make commitments that are like, you know, for example, like the Life Mastery Program, 4 to 6 months, you know, it's like a hot button to me, and we're working on our scheduling.
That's
and not
it.
Like
it's,
that.
It's a different paradigm of life. It's a different way of being that you're, in one sense, by your commitment, you're forcing yourself to transform into, to a, In relation to what we're talking about, the Vedic personality, for you to be more deeply sattvic, that you're creating your life. Life's not just happening in some passionate or ignorant way. That you're creating your life. Sure, you're attuned to the flow. You're making a commitment with determination. And what I'm hearing, Devin, is that it was after you made the commitment, even right when you made the commitment, you were clear and solid, but then afterwards, it really got real. It got real for you. Oh, we're talking about dates, and it's not just kind of like flowing like a picnic or like smelling roses. It's just like, this isn't so easy to coordinate dates, and there you are, you just committed to something. What will this mean? And that's when it got scary for you. You began to feel fear, and your soaring high of confidence began to crumble a bit last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. It was like once it got real, talking about dates and then even I even briefly looked at some flight prices. It was like,
yes.
Whew, this is you know, like, I mean, I didn't. I mean, maybe I expected it to be easy, maybe I didn't, but it's like this. This isn't necessarily going to be a walk in the park. It's not like I'm not going to enjoy it. It is going to be challenging as opposed to easy. It's like a lot of realization is going to come from, and I understand that, and I'm very very much I want that, and I'm looking forward to that. But the you know, like the measures to which I'm going through to get that self-realization, to get what I want, it's not necessarily going to be easy. Like something that I shared with you in the advanced course is like when I went there, I was like, I know that I'm going to do some work, but I entered into the course knowing that work was needing to be done. I didn't come there completely clear about who was going to do that work. And that was, so I feel that that might be like a kind of maybe a slightly reoccurring kind of pattern.
Okay, there's a pattern you're looking at here. So you made this commitment, and now you're feeling the weight of that commitment. And even it's feeling a bit like a burden. It's scary. It's fearful. Your growth is happening. You're going in. You're getting to look at yourself, and you're feeling the weight of that commitment. Also, I hear you do have hope, confidence. You do have some self-assurance that there's a lot of healthy growth, huge maybe quantum jumps in your own maturity and the growth that's available here. Between here and there, though, there might be some pain between here and there.
More like will be, but we'll leave it at might be.
Okay. I appreciate your sharing and your conversation. And Devin, the you might say the self inquiry that I'll encourage you to just kind of be in, let's say for the next 48 hours, just to be in the question of what qualities in yourself do you need to connect with to handle this situation with excellence? Just without trying to force an answer, just to be in that question, what qualities in yourself do you need to connect with to handle your situation with excellence?
What qualities do I need to connect with within myself to handle this situation in excellence?
Yes. And that's I ask you to be with that. And any realizations you get, I'll be glad to. I invite you to be in communication with me.
We'll certainly do so. I appreciate
you, Devin.
To call in.
Thank you, Devin. Thanks for joining the Soffit Tov Radio Hour.
Thank you.
Thanks, Devin. You're listening to the Soffit Tov Institute Radio Hour. Very, very real and intense call. I experienced that as that Devin, our caller with courage, is looking at his fear. He is looking at his fear, not pretending it's not there. At the same time, I sense he's not wallowing in it. He's talking about it, seeing what it's made of. And that's really the essence of conscious living, of sattvic living. You know, here's the thing. Because even if we're in tamasic fear or rajasic irritation, once we're conscious about it, that's the doorway to sattvic conscious living. You're listening to the Soffit Tov Radio Hour. This is David Wolf, your host. We invite you to visit the Soffit Tov website, soffittov.com, and to take the Vedic Personality Inventory at vedicpersonality.org. At both soffittov.com and vedicpersonality.org, also, you can register for a complimentary coaching session. At soffittov.com, also, take the personality, the personal goal profile, goal profile, which is another opportunity based on the Vedic Personality Inventory, another opportunity to take inventory of where am I at in each area of my life, and what's important for me to accomplish. Where am I at, and what's important for me to accomplish? And we encourage you to accompany your Vedic Personality Inventory and your personal goal profile with Soffit Tov coaching. We look forward for you to join us next week, December 29th. That's 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Soffit Tov Institute Radio Hour. Thank you for being with us today. This is David Wolf, Soffit Tov Institute, the Soffit Tov Radio Hour, your station for self-realization.